want to thank you for your faithful giving unto the Lord. Sally, for the offertory this morning, as those two young men took the offering down the center aisle, they start out boys, they grow into men. It's a joy to watch. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32, the fifth book of Moses, and in chapter 32, we'll enter into what is called the Song of Moses, and perhaps as we read through this opening passage of Scripture, we might catch a bit of Moses' heart as he, I'm somewhat envious of people who can put into lyric words for songs, but this is a love song for sure. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're going to read verses 1 through 18 together this morning. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness, and he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rocks and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, and to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and have forgotten that God has formed thee. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning and the opportunity we have, Lord, to dig into your word, to be led of you, guided by your Spirit, Lord, into the eternal truth of your word. And so, Lord, today we ask that you'd hide your servant behind the cross. The Lord, that it would be you that would open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. The Lord, you would speak through fallible lips of clay, the infallible word of God, to the penetrating of our hearts and our souls. We have come, Lord, today to this place to hear from you. Speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a pretty simple message, really, as Moses declares his song here in Deuteronomy 32. If we could get one bit of instruction out of this, it would be don't forget God. It's an interesting thought, really, but it's pervasive throughout Scripture, the idea that God's people had forgotten him. 352 times in Scripture, God says it specifically, "You have forgotten me." If you take variants on that, you would find over 550 times God has said in some form or another that you have forgotten me. I was reminded again and went back through my concordance and checked my math. 175 times God reminded his people that he is the God who had taken them out of Egypt. This issue that we have a tendency to forget is apparent in Scripture. It is apparent in my life. How many times I've gone to the grocery store only to return home having forgotten something. Yeah, you've done that, right? Oftentimes I walk into the kitchen and forget what I went there to do. So it's an issue of forgetting. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to recognize that when Scripture talks about forgetting God, it is not talking about forgetting to get a gallon of milk at the store. No, it's nothing like that, actually. No, when Scripture talks about forgetting, it is to neglect that which you know, to not acknowledge that which you know, and to not respond in a manner that evokes a proper response to that which you know. It isn't as if the people, the children of Israel, just forgot, "Oh yeah, I forgot all about there's a God up there in heaven. I'm going to make one of my own hands." No, it isn't that at all. It is still retaining in some sense the fact that there is a God, but just an unwillingness to acknowledge him in any way that he is God. That's the basic premise of what we're talking about here. I think when I was reading through this, I would turn to Romans chapter 1. That was the first thing that hit me as I examine the culture and the world in which I live and consider the ramifications of the lifestyles that people are living and so on. The reasons for it are given to us in Romans chapter 1. Verse 28, for example, would be probably the place where I would start. Romans 1:28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." You see it there? This is not a, "Whoops, I forgot." This is an unwillingness to retain the knowledge of God in their minds. This is what Peter would say of the world when he'd say, they are willingly ignorant of the fact that God destroyed the world by flood because of the ungodliness of people. It isn't I forgot. It's not this simple shortcoming that we have of not being able to retain everything. No, this is a frame of mind that says, I'm choosing not to acknowledge God. I'm choosing to neglect God. And in that, I'm doing it in a manner that is invoking an improper response to him. Does that make sense to everybody? Important message. So important that Moses would take this in his song, the only song that we know of that Moses wrote, and he would write it out in paper on paper so that we would know it and recognize that this stands true for us today. Well, it's Mother's Day, so what does that have to do with Mother's Day, right? Sometimes we get interrupted with these holidays and stuff that have no specific biblical backing, but I would tell you today, I think Mother's Day is lovely. I think Mother's Day is something we should celebrate, and I think we should celebrate our mothers every day of the year, not simply on Mother's Day. And in so doing, I'm coming to that point, that thought in my heart and mind, not because it's something my culture says to do, but rather it's something that Scripture implies that I should do. Now, it's interesting in this very important passage of Scripture, the importance of not forgetting God, that now God speaks of himself in a form that we might call it anthropomorphic, where he's given human qualities applied to an animal. You might think of it as a zoomorphic statement, where he's taking animal characteristics and applying to a human. You might consider it one of those two things. But rather, what I'd like for you to do is, again, turning to Romans chapter 1. I should have told you to keep a thumb there. But again, turning to Romans chapter 1, I would like for you to consider what we're going to talk about today according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, where Paul records under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, what that is called is general revelation. That is scripturally, that's what we call that. And what Paul means there is, you can look around at everything that God has created, and you can see there's evidence of a creator God, and you can see his nature and his character and his Godhead and his power in the things reflecting that he has made. Isn't it true? I mean, you ladies wearing these corsages now today, if you'll slow down and stop and actually look at what that is and think of the intricacy and the beauty that's in a simple flower, you recognize that God created that he's a God of beauty, that he's a God of intricacy, that he's a God of reproduction, because that plant has the ability to do that. You find in everything in this universe, everything created, spoken into existence by God, reflects something about him. I'm telling you, if you go out and you get a night where there's clear skies and no light pollution, I guess we call it that now, and you look out into the vast amount of stars, of which we can't see them all, you stand in awe, don't you? Don't you stand in awe that you serve the God that created, placed them, keeps them in existence, in those patterns, for all of time? Who is this God? And when we look at that, we're meant to come to this conclusion. Who am I that he would take note of me and come and save me? Who am I? And to think of the ways and the manner in which God brought me to him to be saved. To look back and to consider in this relationship that you have with Christ, that God had placed people within your life, directed them to speak the truth of the Word of God within your hearts and your minds, and he softened your heart so that you might enter into a relationship with the Creator God, the God of heaven and earth, and he calls you his child, and he is your Father. Have you lost that? Have you lost the awe of what an awesome God has done for you? Are you neglectful to keep him in your minds and in your thoughts? Do you acknowledge him in every aspect of your day? Do you talk to him throughout the course of the day? Do you lean on him? Do you walk according to his word? Or is it possible that we, like the people that Moses is talking about, had gone our own way and had begun to put our trust in things that are other than God? I'm telling you today, the most important thing in your life is your relationship with God in Christ Jesus. There is not a secondary close thing to that. Your study of theology is the most important thing you can think on. To think on God. To contemplate God. To realize that he is transcendent and has come revealing himself in the person of Jesus Christ so that you might know him. An eternity of God that you will never fully encompass in this life. He wants you to know him in intimate detail No, you see, you can read this in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and you might say in your mind, oh, I haven't forgotten God. And I would suggest to you, we have all to some extent forgotten God. I'm not as close to God as I need to be. There are things in my life that I withhold from Him. But what Moses is saying is, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rains upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto God. And as much as I fail, He has never failed me. Who is this God? And so He takes it upon Himself to try to get me to understand Him better. And He uses the things that He has created to point me into this deeper relationship of knowing His love and His provision for me. And in this passage, centered in the very middle of what He's doing, He says this, as an eagle stirs up her nest. I love that. He's talking about Father God, and that's how we know Him. That's how He declares Himself as Father God. But now He uses this thing that He has created in a mother eagle to point us to a deeper understanding of who He is. Isn't that wonderful? And you stop then and you think about it. Why does that eagle, why does a mother eagle stir up her nest? Why does she flutter her wings over? Why does she teach her young how to fly? Why does she do that? She does that because God created her to do that. It's evidence. It's evidence of God's love for us that a mother eagle would care for the nest that her children are born in. And I think of my mother. And I think of you mothers. And I think of what you do that represents Christ in your homes by being loving mothers. Why do we do that? Why do you do that? We might consider Hosea chapter 13 where the Lord is talking about those who are leading His people astray and how when they go astray, and He says in there, and I'll just paraphrase it for you, but He says, as a mother bear is bereaved of her cubs, you don't want to get in her way. This maternal jealousy that a mother has for her children, you've witnessed it. I mean, if you've ever been involved in other people's children, you've witnessed it. Here comes Mama Bear. And why does a mother bear do that? Because God created that mother bear to do that. We might consider the words of Jesus in Matthew and Luke's account when He looks over Jerusalem. And I love this passage. You know that I do. And He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have killed the prophets. Oh, how often I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen does her chicks, but you would not. Why does a mother hen do that? Because God created her to do that, to show you His love for you. And then we turn to passages of Scripture like Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49 and verses 13 through 16. It's another song. This is Isaiah's song now. And he says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth unto singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion has said, the Lord has forsaken me. and my Lord has forgotten me. Isn't it interesting? God's perspective and man's perspective are not always the same. And then the Lord says this, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now remember, the word forgetting here is not, oh, I forgot I have a child. It's not that. The word forgetting here is to not acknowledge that you have children or to neglect your children. And God says, can a woman who's nursing her child, can she neglect the son of her womb? And he answers his own question. He says, yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. If ever there has been a point in the history of my life of people who have had mothers who have neglected them, it's today. It's today. We have mothers that neglect their children before they're born. We have mothers who neglect their children when they're nursing age. We have mothers who neglect their children as they grow. We have mothers who neglect their children when they're grown. That's not God's design, because God has made men and women agents of free choice. That's the result of sin in the world. And what I'm telling you today is what God has designed is for mothers to be more like mothering eagles, mothering bears, and mothering hens. That's what God designs. And if you grew up in a home where you had a mother that exemplified those very godly characteristics, you are rich, rich, rich beyond words. And you should acknowledge God in your mothers. And if you're a mother today and you're exemplifying the characteristics of a mother eagle and a mother hen and a mother bear because God has addressed your heart to love and provide for your children, then you should acknowledge God in that and thank Him for the mother's heart that He has given you. You see, this is all meant for His glory. That's why I celebrate Mother's Day. To acknowledge my wife as a mother, to acknowledge the mother that I have, to acknowledge you as mothers. I don't stop with the creation. I go all the way back to the Creator. Because it is God who has created motherhood. And we ought to give Him glory and acknowledge what He's done. You know, because of this very thing we have within Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments, we have instruction unto children. Honor your father and mother. Of course, because God has created them. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul would bring it right out to us again in the New Testament. Let me just turn there quickly. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with you and that you might live long on the earth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, not to get negative here, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have a list of all of the ills of this world in the latter days. And Paul writes here, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They will be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Saddled right in the middle of it is disobedient children. Of course a child should be obedient and honor his mother and his father, because that motherhood and fatherhood are of God. You'll remember in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is addressing the scribes and the Pharisees who are not respectful of their parents and say, oh, well, if I've given you something, you should consider it a gift. I have no obligation to you as my father and mother. And if I'll remind you that Jesus said to them, to those peoples, you should die the death. Now, this is a serious issue. It's a serious issue how we treat our mothers. and how they ought to be treated. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. I am so thankful for my mother today, and as Pat was sharing, and somewhat tearfully, thoughts of her mother, I can relate to it over and over again. But the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and I want you to be wise in your walk with the Lord and what He has created for us, and to acknowledge Him in everything that He has created, so that He will build up within us and evoke us into a proper response. Proverbs 1, 7 through 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck. Turning to chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 20. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Chapter 30, and I picked just a few. Chapter 30 and verse 11. There is a generation. Perhaps we're living in it now. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. That's a possibility, isn't it? This is Mother's Day. And I want to ask you, just plain and simply, young people, old people, those of you who have mothers who are alive, those of you whose mothers have passed away, today, do you bless your mother? Do you bless God for your mother? Or is this just something we do on a day set aside in May when you, out of obligation, go out and buy a card, a box of candy, or something? Is this from your heart today? Do you bless your mother, and do you bless God for your mother? Because if it is, this is not the only day you express it to her. It is not the only day that you acknowledge God in His grace and His goodness towards you. But it's every day. It's every day. God bless you, mothers. For He has blessed us through you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it seems so easy. It seems so easy not to acknowledge you in all things. It seems so easy to neglect you and what you have done and what you're doing in our lives. And in so doing, Lord, I find that we are lacking in a proper response to the things that you have created. And so, Lord, today we give you praise. We thank you for mothers who, and has been read today in Proverbs 31, the qualities of a godly woman within the home. We thank you, Lord, that even though there is imperfection in each one of us, the Lord, still the heart of a mother is something that you instill. And so, Lord, I ask today a blessing over each of these who are mothers today, and, Lord, perhaps others who will tune into the message via the internet, that, Lord, you would encourage them, that they are being used of you and for you and for the benefit of their children and for all those who enter into a household. And, the Lord, you would stir up within them a desire to serve you by serving their families and by loving and providing and nurturing and caring for them, that in those very actions, whether in the animal kingdom or in the free will kingdom of men whose hearts have been changed, we see evidence of who you are. As an eagle who would stir up her nest, who would flutter over her young, who would bear her children up and teach them to fly. Oh, Lord, we are dependent upon you. We are grateful for what you have done. And we ask, Lord, that you would do a mighty work within our lives, that we would acknowledge you in all things, in particular today as we acknowledge our mothers. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.